on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Welcome back for another edition of YokeCast. I hope this episode finds you and your family safe during this very challenging time. Our show today is brought to you by Midwest Landscaping. Midwest Landscaping specializes in innovative landscape design, custom landscaping, sprinkler systems, inspiring water features, and outdoor living solutions. Proudly serving Southeast South Dakota and Northwest Iowa. You can view their work online at PaulsonMidwestLandscaping.com. In this episode, we are jam-packed with how the coronavirus has impacted folks right here in our own backyard and will continue to impact for the foreseeable future. Head football coach Bob Nielsen will share his thoughts on the impact of losing spring football. Lucky Huber had to tell five Coyote athletes ready to compete at NCAA Indoor Championships that their season was over. Helen Falda shares her experience learning the pole vault season had ended and how her family is doing in Italy during this time of crisis. But we start this week with South Dakota Athletics Director David Herbster and how the pandemic will impact USD's athletic budget. David, last week the NCAA voted to distribute $275 million to Division I universities, and the original plan was $600 million. Obviously, that changed with winter and spring sports championships being canceled. How does this affect USD? Does USD rely on some of that money for budgeting purposes?
Yeah, it's. We had a conference call on Tuesday morning with the rest of the Summit League members, and where the commissioner kind of detailed all this out for us, and a pretty sobering look at it, to be honest with you. And we still have some work to do on our own budget to really get a better idea of the impact that it's going to have on us. But there's certainly an impact on our budget this year, a fairly significant impact, but also next year's budget as well. So it's almost like a two-year hit that we're going to take, if you say. But I will say this, it's a pretty sizable amount of money that has a large part in our budget that we're going to have to really dig deep into our budget and figure out how do we make this work, what does it look like, and you know, in the larger picture, you know, I think we've heard the governor talk about, or others talk about, the state budget for next year and how it could be one of the one of the most challenging since the Depression. So these next 2 years will, without a doubt, the end of this year and next year will certainly be a challenge for us that we're going to have to work on. I will say, I think we got a great group of coaches and staff that, you know, putting our heads together, we'll find ways to meet the challenge.
You know, that you brought up the state budget for the governor. It's probably something that people maybe don't quite put two and two together when they hear that. But anytime the state budget is affected, there's a good chance it's going to affect athletic budgets in this state.
Right. You know, and, you know, part of our budget is built on our own generated revenue, and part of it is student fees, and part of it is from the university. And then, you know, from the university's perspective, it gets its budget from a lot of different places as well. So it's always a trickle-down effect, or there's a ripple effect anytime you have holes in a budget, or in this case, a shortfall on revenue coming from a variety of avenues. It definitely plays an impact on the budget.
Well, as you've found during this entire time, where, as they say, where there's a will, there's a way. So we'll keep working on that as the future dictates. You know, the other thing the NCAA has come out about is they are allowing an extra year of eligibility for spring sport athletes, not winter sports. Did that surprise you at all either way, or was that expected?
It didn't surprise me about the decision on winter sports athletes. We had been led to believe up until this point that was almost that was not getting a lot of traction during some of the committee meetings. You know, for some of the winter sport athletes, you know, really had finished their season. Swimming and diving had pretty much finished. Basketballs had, well, they at least got through their conference tournament. Of course, indoor track and field got through their whole season except for the championship. So it really wasn't, as I understand it, that portion of the conversation yesterday when they were doing the council votes was probably less than 3 minutes, and about what I expected. But on the spring sports side of things, the season of competition waiver does grant institutions the authority to kind of self-apply a season of competition waivers for all spring sports student athletes. So this is what they call permissive legislation. You can opt into it or you cannot opt into it. In other words, you can do it or you can't do it. It's not a mandate. They're just allowing that to happen. So in doing so, of course, realizing that where everybody's struggling with this a little bit, on the same side, they're allowing student athletes to have an additional year of eligibility, especially those seniors. They would allow those individuals, those seniors that choose to extend one more year because of the missed season of competition, their scholarship dollars or their equivalency won't count against you. Their roster spot or the equivalency won't count against you. We have, equivalency limits in every single sport, or I should say scholarship limitations in every sport. If a senior chooses to opt in, their scholarship will not count against you in that cap of scholarships. But the challenge here really is that in doing so, in one breath they're saying, yes, here, we're going to allow you to do that, take advantage of it or not. And on the other hand, they've also reduced the revenue distribution significantly. So it's really a challenge to, let's say, add more scholarships at the time that all your revenues are decreasing. So that's where we talked about it today or on Tuesday as a staff after the Summit League call, trying to figure out, okay, what does this really mean? We have about 31 or so seniors that are in this predicament, where their spring season, their senior season was, gone. And so we're having conversations with all those athletes to try to get an idea of what is it that they would like to do. Now, we have three options, really. We can not do it at all, we can allow them, permit them to come back and keep them at their same scholarship. We can allow them to come back on no scholarship or a reduced scholarship. So we're really going to take that sport by sport and case by case and have those conversations to see really where that takes us.
And you certainly have to have the conversations with the student athletes, but I would imagine then the coaches get involved in making the right decision, not only for the student athletes, but for the university. How do those conversations go?
Well, I'll tell you as soon as we have those. Because really for some of these student athletes, they've already in some cases, they already have jobs lined up. Their next career path is set. They're going to go do this or they're going to do that. For some of those who had been looking towards their senior year, it's, look, this is, I got one last year. Now, do you want to go a whole nother year? Those will be the ones that will lay the options out in front of them. Some coaches, the challenge will also be that they've already been recruiting your class of, 21 or 22 or 23. They've got things kind of lined out too. So only one year, only next year will that additional scholarship or that additional equivalency not count going forward. So it's kind of a one-time waiver on that equivalency limitation. Outside of that, the coaches would have to figure out and possibly alter some of their recruiting.
Well, I know that, when all this came out and there were a lot of fans speculating on whether or not this may happen and saying the NCAA would allow it, it sure sounds like it's more complex than just the NCAA saying we can expand roster limits and allow these seniors or these student athletes another year of eligibility.
Right. You're absolutely right. It's because, even though they'll permit it, each institution has to determine, can they do it? Can they do it financially? And even the sports, the individual sports will have to determine, does it work for them as well? I hate the fact that our seniors lost their senior year. And putting myself in their shoes, I would absolutely want a year back to compete. But also, I feel bad for the one, you know, now some will have a decision, like, do I go get a job, or do I take this job, or do I come back for another year of school? And if they come back for another year of school, chances are they'd have to start graduate school. Do they even want to go to graduate school? So a lot of different things to consider. So, and, you know, in some cases, the best conversations will be, we can lay everything out in front of them, and then they're going to have a conversation with their family. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these student athletes are going to be on, let's say they're only on a half scholarship or a quarter scholarship. Well, age, can that family take on that, you know, that tuition load, that, you know, for another year? If as a student, if a lot of your, what's, you know, filling that gap, let's say you're taking out loans, do you want to take out another year of loans? So a lot of different financial questions need to have conversations on, and not just with us, the coach or the student athlete, but also that student athlete and their family.
Certainly a lot of decisions, a lot of hurdles left to be made for a lot of that. Is there a deadline on when all of that would have to be decided? Like, how quickly does your staff have to move on some of this to get an idea going forward?
Well, I think the sooner the better, right? Because you're going to really, there's not a particular deadline, but the sooner they can make the decision. I'm certainly, you know, the coach needs to know if they still have roster spots to fill for next year. Do they recruit for it, or do they not recruit for it? I kind of, our target goal is to try to get all this answered in the next month.
Well, we look forward to seeing how it affects everything, and hopefully for everybody, they can make the decision that works best for them. Currently, obviously, sports are on pause, and we know there will not be any more college sports for the rest of this academic year. There's been some conversation now about what football season may or may not look like. Have you started to have those thoughts and try to stay ahead of that going forward, or are you looking at more pressing matters right now and just not concerned yet with what may happen in August and September?
You know, we haven't allowed ourselves to go down that path too far. We were actually waiting to see what the NCAA's financial picture looks like. And now that we've got that, we can start to look at our budget and see what that's going to look like for next year. Now, once we can kind of get that picture more on a solid footing, now we need to take a look at what would happen if we don't have football. Or let's say we don't have fall sports, or it's a shortened season for the fall. So I do think that while what we'll do is we'll put down kind of all the decisions that we'd have to make if that were to happen. And so at least we can have something ready to go that we can start to make some decisions from. Until then, I would rather, we're really going to focus on putting our efforts into what we know for sure right now. Once we do that and go through that process, we'll have while it might be equally as painful, that process won't take near as long if we get to the point where we don't have a fall season.
Well, here's hoping to a fall season and football to be a full go by the time it rolls around, and hopefully that is getting us back to a new normal and back to some normalcy. David, great stuff. Really appreciate your time as always. Stay safe and your family during this time.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
Helen Falda was in Albuquerque, New Mexico when the NCAA Indoor Championships were canceled. The pole vaulter also knew impact in the United States was coming with her family dealing with the virus in Italy. Helen, first of all, great to talk to you. How are you holding up during all this craziness that we're dealing with right now?
You know, it's been tough just because my family is in Italy right now, and they started to have this bad coronavirus situation way earlier than us. And deep down in me, I knew this was going to happen too in the U.S. And I knew it was just a matter of time. So I was just waiting for something to happen, you know. And it happened at NCAAs when we got back without competing. So it's tough, but I know that we have to be patient. And everything will be back normal again.
Helen, as you talk about the NCAAs, as this all started trickling down, you're preparing for the NCAA Indoor Championships. What do you remember about finding out that you weren't going to be able to compete?
Yeah, you know, we were at the airport in Omaha going to Albuquerque, and Coach Huber said, well, we just found out that there's not going to be a banquet, and they don't allow fans to see the NCAA. And that's when I started to have a feeling, thinking, okay, maybe this is not going to happen. But then we got to Albuquerque, and the next day, which it was the day before, the men pole vault had to they had to compete. A bunch of conferences were taking the athletes out of the meet, and then I think we were at the hotel hanging out, and someone said we just canceled everything, and we just looked at each other, and nobody was saying anything. We just couldn't even talk, and we just took 5 minutes of silence, and then we just talked to coaches, and we just made a plan to go back right away because we understood that it was a dangerous situation, and you know, it hurts, but it's just at the end of the game, it's just a sport, and if it saves lives, this is it was the right choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Have you been able to get over how the season ended and not being able to compete in the championships, or how have you tried to move on from that?
You know, I think in the beginning, no one kind of understood what was going on. I still talk to Ethan Bray, one of my teammates, and I say, Ethan, I still haven't realized that we haven't competed NCAAs. It's sometimes I think about it, and it's something that we waited for so long, and we had some dreams about it, you know. We thought something was going to happen, you know, an All-American title or a medal, and then nothing of this happened, and we never know what was going to happen, and that's a little bit frustrating and sad and heartbreaking, but the good thing is almost everyone in that group has another extra year, hopefully, so we can just do it next year again.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of work that goes into that stuff, and as we talk about the coronavirus pandemic, it's hit much of the world very, very hard, and you have ties to two countries that have been hit the hardest, having been a college athlete in the United States and, of course, Italy from where you are from. What has this whole thing been like with your ties to both countries for you to watch play out and continue to grow?
Yeah, so, you know, in Italy, this virus pandemic started a little bit earlier than us. And as I said before, I knew that things were going down in the U.S. too, just because, you know, Americans are not immune to the virus. So I just talk every day to my family. They are quarantined from, like, 3 weeks now, so they can't get out of the house. They can't go for a walk outside. Now, since the people were going too much to the grocery store, they have just one day to go, which is Wednesday. And that's the only time one member of the family can go outside and get groceries. My brother doesn't go to school anymore. He's a little kid. He's almost 7. He doesn't go to school from the end of February. And the only one that has to go to work is my mom, because she's a nurse. She actually did the test yesterday for COVID-19, just for a precaution. She's not sick. We'll have the results back soon. And, you know, I'm just probably just more worried about my mom, because she works at the hospital where there are confirmed cases. And the good thing is that if they're home and they are quarantining, they're safe. So that's the good thing.
Well, the good news is you're able to communicate with them, because, you know, normally this time of year you'd probably be back to track practices and working hard, getting everything done for outdoor season. But now with all this extra time, how has that been a challenge for you to not to try to stay in touch with them and not think too much about this whole deal?
You know, I think the secret is always trying to keep myself busy. So I actually did a list of things that I always wanted to do and I can never do just because I don't have time. So I just stay busy with my classes, my online classes now. And the good thing is that I can practice here. I'm in Texas right now. And I have a track available, and I have a pole vault pit in a backyard, and I'm just pole vaulting there, which is, I feel lucky because probably 95% of the athletes can't practice right now because they don't have facilities available. And, yeah, I'm just, you know, trying to be busy. I started to study my fourth language. I started to study a little bit of French because it's something that I wanted to do for a long time. And then, yeah, the time that I've left, I just talk to my family and connect with them because these are tough times. And if I have more time to talk to them and make a connection, it's good for everyone, you know.
So four languages, I'm interested. What are the four languages?
Yeah, so Italian, which is my first language, English, because I have to survive in the U.S. I already spoke Spanish, and I'm picking up French.
Very cool. That's pretty awesome. So as you watch all this stuff play out, and you know what goes into being a college athlete and trying to be the best you can at pole vault, and now seeing what has happened with the Olympics and everything getting postponed a year, and I think a lot of people are on board with saying this is the right thing to do, but you know what athletes go through in preparation. So what was your reaction to the Olympics postponement?
You know, I think that everyone was waiting that they were making a call about Olympics or canceling or postponing them. I think postponing them was the best solution. One, because they're not canceled, so they're going to happen eventually. Because people right now can practice, and if there are the Olympics, people are going to try to practice in some type of way, and that means maybe getting hurt or getting sick. So the fact that athletes can lay off 1 second to practice and be safe, it's better. And we just have to see the positive. We have one more year to get better and try to qualify for the Olympics. And I think it's a blessing, you know, because this is a tough time. We can't practice as we want. And if we have one more year to improve and jump higher, or run faster, whatever the case is, it's better. And I mean, I'm just excited because I'm just more time to improve, you know.
So can we plan to see you in the Olympics someday?
You know, this is my dream since I was little, and I guess it's not a dream anymore, it's a goal, because I know it's something that can happen. I just have to trust the process, and I know my coach Miles has a plan, and we stick to that plan, and we'll see what happens.
So with all of this stuff that has happened and is going on currently, even probably magnifies some of that idea a little bit more. What would it mean to you to wear your nation's colors and get that opportunity in the Olympics someday?
You know, I wore my nation's colors already, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But wearing it at the Olympics, which is a dream that I have since I was little, it's something that would mean the world to me. And it's like a dream of a lifetime. It's the ultimate fulfillment, I guess. it would be everything to me. So that's why I just work hard every day and try to make it happen.
Well, there's a lot of people cheering you on, and we'll continue to follow it and see how things go. We know you got more time at the University of South Dakota, and we look forward to that as well. Helen, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Want to wish all the best to your family as they get through this in Italy, and for you, stay safe as well during all this time, all right?
Thank you so much. Adios.
Director of Track and Field and Cross Country, Lucky Huber, joins us this week to talk about how his team found out the indoor championship event was canceled and his thoughts on the Olympics postponement. Lucky, great to chat with you. And first and foremost, how are you holding up, your family holding up during this pandemic?
Well, my wife and I are spending a lot of time together. When you're married to a track coach for 20-some years, you probably enjoy having a few weeks where you can spend together. But she may kick me out of the house soon, too, so we'll see. But, no, it's been good, and my daughters are doing good. So, overall, we're just thankful that we're healthy.
Yeah, no doubt. And this has obviously had a great deal, a great impact on the sports world. And it impacted the indoor track and field team, the athletes who had competed or who had qualified, I should say, for the indoor championships. Obviously, that was canceled. When did you know, or when did you think you had a good idea that maybe this wouldn't happen?
Well, we were traveling on that Wednesday. And that was the day some basketball tournaments started canceling. I believe the Big Ten canceled. So we're getting this stuff, you know, on social media. You're getting on a plane, you get off, you check social media, and you see all these things happen. And in some ways, and I know this isn't quite the same, in some days I start thinking about what was 9/11 like when you were in the air and you knew nothing, and then all of a sudden you're landing and things are changing so fast. They first went to the spot where they were going to let no fans into the track meet. And then we ended up getting there on Thursday morning. And many of you remember David Williams. He's the assistant athletic director at the school that was hosting the national meet. So he was giving me information early that morning. He said, have you heard that parents are not going to be allowed into the meet? So we were able to get a hold of some of our parents and tell them not to make the trip down. And around noon, just out of curiosity, I sent a little text and I said, any chance this thing's going to get canceled? And he says, we're hoping not. We're working with the governor right now, trying to get her to approve having this many people in a location. And then we're at the track that afternoon doing a little bit of a warm-up. Chris is actually meeting with ESPN at that time doing his interviews. And I get a text from David Williams saying that it was canceled. And so I just got a chance to sit there and look out at, you know, 150 athletes and those coaches. And their phones are, they're all starting to grab their phones and they're showing each other. And there was this kind of overall shock among everybody. And, you know, everybody then had started picking up their phones, making arrangements to get home, finding their kids. And Chris came out of the interview. At that point, they stopped his interview and we walked out. And literally, we just walked out of the arena, got in the car and went back to the hotel so we could be with the rest of the team. And we got back to the hotel. We're like, heck, we forgot the pole vault poles. We were just kind of in that shock where we just wanted to be with the rest of the team and sit down and talk about it a little bit. And, you know, they all took it really well. I think the difference is that these kids all have either had this experience once or will get to have another opportunity. Where we think about the women's basketball team, I mean, that's their one shining moment and type of thing where they got to have this opportunity to be able to do that. So I think our track kids survived it that way. It was hard, though, hearing at the same time that they canceled the meet that they were also canceling the outdoor season. That was another hard one to swallow at the same time.
I can't imagine that you prepare yourself for anything like this. So in a moment like that, what do you tell a group of athletes at an indoor championships that's been canceled, that all that work that they've got to that point, they can no longer, I guess, chase their dreams?
Well, you know, I think going into the meet, I had a hunch that something may happen outdoors. So my pre-meet talk was going to be, hey, this could be the last time you ever get to compete, go out there and lay it on the line, all that kind of stuff. And then they didn't even get that. So I think that was hard. I can't tell you that I had this great wisdom at that point. I think I relied on the kids to get me through it, just like they relied on me. And, you know, we made some jokes. We joked that, well, let's call the Baylor pole vaulter and Chris will go find a high school track and we'll just have a little pole vault competition. You know, just try to make light of it, not that the situation, but just to try to get ourselves through it. And, it was hard. It was difficult. I don't want to undermine that. But at the same time, it was the right decision to do. And we all understood it. And we just kind of sat back and relaxed and then had dinner that night. And then we're able to get on some planes and come home and kind of keep moving on from that point.
You know, it wasn't long after that, or a few days maybe, that we learned that the Summit League was canceling all spring sports, and we knew that the championship had already been booked at that point, but then they canceled all spring sports, and a lot of leagues were doing that. What was your reaction to the way the dominoes just started falling?
Well, if I back up here a little bit, we're in the first airport we're in. I don't even remember where we flew through. And social media was going nuts because the kids from Harvard that had qualified for the indoor national meet were being told by their athletic director they could not go to the meet. And so everybody was jumping all over this Harvard AD and just going on and on. Why would they not let them go? And then by the next day, we go to check in, and the Big Ten had withheld their athletes. So Minnesota actually withdrew from the meet before it got canceled. So you're kind of getting all this stuff coming together at you, and you're kind of like, well, what's going to happen here? The SEC is saying, we're here, let's compete. The Big Ten is saying, get in a plane and come home. And we were joking as we were driving back, and someone said, well, that shows that those kids from Harvard are all smarter than the rest of us. They just stayed home for the weekend. So it was kind of a laughing thing, but at the same time, it was all these pieces coming together, and you're kind of like, holy buckets, what's going to happen here? And once they canceled the NCAA outdoor meet, to me, it was just a given that the Summit League and all the other conferences would follow along and cancel everything at that point. So that probably wasn't as hard on me. I think by that point, I was kind of taking it in and kind of assuming those things were going to happen.
You know, one of the things with the outdoor track season being canceled, USD was set to host the Summit League Championships, and hopefully that opportunity comes about again. But you look at it and probably had some plans in place for the Summit League Outdoor Championships. So how was all that impacted by this cancellation?
Well, we had Mike West had done some really neat things with us. We were in the phases of calling it Yoke Fest, and it was going to be interchanged with a chance for donors to be able to come and see their new seats in the dome with the track meet and kind of have, you know, food trucks and things for kids to do and the highway patrolman being there, just all these different fun activities and educational opportunities, and kind of trying to create like a Drake Relays experience. Yes, even with probably a few spots where someone could have an adult beverage, and try to build up the track meet that way for Saturday and tie it into the donor event. So Mike West had been working hard on that, and a few of my former track athletes were helping with that. So we were really excited about that. We're going to step back now. We know we won't be hosting next year. We will host the indoor meet next year. We were in the rotation for that. And I believe that we'll be hosting outdoors very soonly, but not next year. Hopefully the year after that we'll get a chance to host it again.
Well, definitely look forward to that. You know, the NCAA made a ruling this week to allow spring sport athletes another year of eligibility. It's still very, very new. Do you know yet how that may impact your teams?
Well, they did a couple interesting things. One of them is that you can imagine each team has a scholarship limitation. And so let's say for men's track, it's 12.6 scholarships. So you have kind of a weird thing happening here if you say, okay, we're going to bring back some kids, but I'd already offered my 12.6 scholarships to my incoming class. So the NCAA had to come in and change that too and allow for those extra seniors to not count against the NCAA limit. You follow me on that?
Yep.
So that was kind of an interesting wrinkle that we were trying to see how they would figure out. The other thing the NCAA did that I'm struggling with is they said that the kids will get the extra season, but they didn't make the schools commit to keeping their scholarship the same. And that bothers me a little bit. I understand why. There were some conferences literally that did not want to even have this happen. If you can believe that, they were against it because it would cost them so much money. And big conferences that were just fighting this. So I think this was the compromise. Is we'll let the kids have the season, but we're not going to make a school commit that money to them. So, for example, John, if you had another season running the 100-meter dash for me and you decide to want to come back, I can look at you and say, well, that's fine, but I don't have to scholarship you now, John. And that I think that's a tough thing because a lot of track athletes and probably softball players and baseball players, they're not full-ride athletes. So for them to have to come back and pay for that extra year, maybe even more than they did the other years, bothers me a little bit. But overall, I'm happy with it. I thought it was a good decision to allow those kids to have that outdoor season and extend their eligibility. A little disappointed that they couldn't do something for the indoor athletes, but I'm not really sure what you could do. I mean, how do you take back and let Chris Nielsen have another indoor season, the women's basketball team, those types of things? I think that just had to lose that. But for example, Camberlyn, the girl that transferred from Dakota Wesleyan, she was already in her fifth year. So now, in addition to her extra season, she's also been granted an extra year to use that extra season. So those are the types of things the NCAA is working out. Jamie Oyen's been great with helping us walk through that process a little bit and understand it. And now we just need to sit down with some of these kids and help them make some decisions as to whether it's best to come back or whether it's best to go on with their lives.
Yeah, a lot of decisions certainly will have to be made, and a lot of decisions have been made in the sports world. Knowing what you know about athletes and their training, were you at all surprised the Olympics were postponed, and was it the right time for that announcement?
It was the right time. I mean, I understand if we step back a little bit and we look at, like, the high school activity associations in the area where they kind of keep kicking the ball down the road a little bit. We might play the basketball. We might have the track meet. I think those are the right decisions by the local organizations. But when you're talking about something that is so global as the Olympics, I think they did make a big decision by just drawing a hard line and saying, we're not going to do it this year. We're going to do it 1 year from now, so that the athletes could step back. Otherwise, literally, an athlete like Emily and Chris would feel like they had to be training right now during this. And that would be really hard because there's some kids in some parts of the United States that aren't able to compete or to train, their Olympic experience would not be nearly the same thing. So I think they made a good decision. Obviously, it was a hard decision, but I honestly believe it was the right decision to make.
You've got a couple of Olympians on your staff. How does it change the training for these athletes who've spent so much time getting ready for the games now that it's extended a year so they can keep working on that training and however that adjusts, but then for the following Olympics, even more so, some are also Winter Olympic athletes.
Well, you're going to run into a weird, because I would assume the next year after that, we'll have a world championship track meet that'll be in Eugene, Oregon. So that'll be another big meet. So it's going to load up a lot of things. It was interesting. We were having a discussion as a coaching staff, and AG's argument was they should be delayed 2 years because he felt like that's how long it was going to take the athletes to get recovered from this and then be able to get reset and back into the training to be able to get their peak back into that spot. So I didn't think it would go that long, but I mean, from his mentality, that's what it was going to take for these athletes when they're missing so much time training. Yeah, Coach Miles always used the idea that for as much time as you're off, it takes you about twice that to get it back. So for these kids here that are going to go 2-3 months without being able to do anything, it could be a 5 or 6 month period before they're really back up to that same spot and ready to rip and roll again.
It's amazing. I don't know how many people understand how it works with recovery of the body and then getting yourself back into a training program. There's a lot that goes into that.
There is. And that was why it was a good decision just to say it's done. Because then you didn't have people saying, should I do this? I mean, literally, Dave Herbster's like working with us. Are we going to have a spot for Chris to pole vault at? You know what I mean? How are we going to do this as we're trying to close things down? We don't want to, you know, we knew Chris has these dreams. We didn't want to figure out what we could do and what we couldn't do. So just by being able to make that statement shuts everybody down. Now everybody can kind of get reset and then everybody can get back on that same page here. And I would hope by June or July, everybody's back to some type of normalcy and people can start training again and get ready for that Olympics. And that would give them a good 11 to 12 months. And I think that should be enough for most of them.
So what do you or Coach Miles tell Chris right now? And obviously he was going through his college season. That's working part of his training to try to go after the Olympic dream. And now that's been postponed a year. What do you tell him to try to keep his mind right? And, you know, you have to juggle all of this stuff with time off and when you start training again.
Yeah, it's hard. It really is. And down in Kansas City, where his parents and family are from, he can't really go back because it's kind of in lockdown area there. So if you go back there, you can't really do anything. So he's staying up here and trying to, you know, stay busy and work on his classes. And, you know, it's hard. I think all of our athletes, whether it's Chris or Emily with that dream or the kids with the outdoor national championship dreams or just the kids for the conference meet, it's been tough for all of them and probably the coaches too. The other day I heard this interesting conversation and I shared this with my team this week is we're really going through this idea of grief, you know, and you and I think of grief as death and none of us obviously are dead and that type of thing, but we're all mourning the loss of something here. And when I heard this guy speak, it really started hitting me. You know, we are all a little bit more sad. We find ourselves crying a little bit easier now when we watch something. And it's really that idea of grief that we have to go through. And once we go through that process, we'll be able to move to the other stages of it. But right now, we're all grieving this loss of I get a chance to compete. I'm missing my friends. I'm missing my normalcy. And for track coaches and all coaches, we're missing control. We like to control everything our kids do. And right now, we feel like we have no control over the situation. So we're all really grieving this loss process that we're going through.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. And eventually, at some point, we will all bounce back from this and hopefully stronger than ever. Lucky, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. All the best to you and your family and your teams. And stay healthy during this time.
You know, Coyote Nation, same way. We'll get through this and hang in there and go Yotes.
With spring classes and events canceled at USD and many institutions, I had a chance to talk to head football coach Bob Nielsen about how the lack of practice days impacts his team, and we discussed some possible alternatives. Bob, first of all, how are you and your family doing during this crazy time right now?
Well, we're doing well. Trying to do and follow the recommendations here, but thanks for asking. You know, my family's doing well.
When you look at football purposes and recruiting this time of year, how are recruiting efforts different right now, and what has your staff done or changed to keep up with everything?
Well, it's kind of an interesting time for us. Right now, it hasn't changed a lot. The NCAA, the only thing that's changed is obviously the NCAA has implemented a dead period, which has limited our ability to bring people to campus. We're currently not in a period where we could have been off campus recruiting. I have a feeling that, the NCAA mandated dead period is probably going to continue. And so the opportunities that we would have had in late April and May to go off campus probably are not going to be there as well. And so what it's really going to do is put a lot more of your evaluation process on video. The kinds of electronic correspondence that you're allowed to have with prospects, because you're going to have limited opportunities for face-to-face contacts on your campus, and also limited availability to do evaluations off campus later this spring.
So during this time, have you learned a little bit more about electronic communication?
Well, I think, you and I were just talking before we went on, you know, so many of our meetings now whether it's a coaching staff meeting or trying to meet with groups of our current players are being done with Zoom. Last week I even did a full team meeting on Zoom with all 80 plus of our returning players, and things that you wouldn't even thought about doing. But this time period is forcing us all to be creative in terms of how we keep in contact with our current players, as well as how we look at the recruiting process.
Prior to so many things getting canceled, obviously your team had gone through some winter workouts. When you evaluated that, what did you notice about this group and their efforts to get better?
Well, I really felt we had a great 8 weeks before spring break in the weight room. Guys made substantial gains strength-wise. We really worked on body composition for some of our big guys, which in some cases meant losing or changing some weight, and in some cases some guys putting on some weight, and thought those things were good. I know Coach McLeod and his staff really felt good about where we were at and positioned to springboard into spring practice, which didn't happen quite the way that we had envisioned it in happening.
When you talk about guys adding weight or maybe losing some weight and getting their bodies right, so now with not being able to be around this group right now, how does that impact or what kind of programs are they able to do to try to keep up with all that work that they had during the winter time?
Guys being scattered around, you know, it's pretty much now on their own from a workout standpoint. We've been able to get them programs. Some have greater access than others to equipment, based on their individual situation. Coach McLeod has even been able to send out ways where just using body weight that guys can continue to try to keep as much of an edge on their conditioning and their strength development as they possibly can. You know, we've heard of all kinds of creative ways, including we had one of our players send us a video of himself heaving hay bales in all different directions and all different types of techniques as part of a workout that he was doing. But our strength staff has done a good job in trying to keep our guys informed in a way with both running and plyometrics and some general strength training that has allowed them to not be facility dependent, to be able to continue to work forward.
Bob, how much of an impact does no spring ball have on your team?
Well, I think it has a huge impact for every team. For us, spring really this year focused on a couple of things and, from an evaluation standpoint, a chance for us to evaluate some positions of uncertainty, with the quarterback position being one of those. We really wanted to get repetition there to that position group to be able to help in our evaluation for the fall. Defensively, when you put in a new system a year ago, the opportunity to kind of perfect those things that didn't go as well as you wanted to in the fall was a big part of what this spring is all about. And what we're trying to do is, at least from a mental standpoint, spend some time with our guys and the opportunities that we have through connection via phone and online to to talk through those things. It's different than actually being able to get out and drill them. And obviously you don't still get the same evaluation component. But we'll hope that we have an opportunity to, the NCAA is looking at some different things. And again, with the hope that we're back to some level of normalcy at some point in time this summer, the possibility of doing a few more things in the summer that might make up for some of the opportunities that you lost in the spring.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, if you hoped or if you thought it was possible maybe fall camp could be expanded to make up for lost time, or if that makes fall camp too long, because I know coaches always need more practice time. The players at a certain point, it becomes stale hitting their own guys and they just want to go play somebody else as well. So there's got to be a balance there.
Yeah, and right now you see several things being batted around, both at the NCAA level and through the College Football Coaches Association. Everything from you've seen maybe this summer we would get the OTA concept that the NFL has, where you'd have some short periods where you could actually practice, and all of that's just a little. It's a little too early, I think, to project right now, both from a standpoint of when we will be back to a level of normalcy and be able to get guys back together. And also with regard to what makes the most sense with regard to what you were talking about, that balance between making sure your team is ready and your guys have the kind of edge on conditioning that they need to play for the season without wearing them down.
When you look at the fall and what it may or may not look like. There's obviously been some concern, and some coaches have spoken about this, that how this may affect or impact football season. Have you allowed yourself to start thinking along those lines, or how this may or may not impact the football season?
You know, I guess I've taken more of a positive approach here, and just from assumption that I think, you know, number one, if we all do our part individually, I think we, as a country and as a state of South Dakota, are going to get through this and get us back to position where we can move forward with everything. When that exactly will be, I don't know. I think, you know, our hope is that we're back with a normal football season in the fall. We're going to continue to work and keep our guys focused on that. I think that's important right now. And the one thing that's been a little bit difficult, I think, for all of us is that, you know, we make these plans and it's a never changing environment. And if the environment continues to change, you know, we're going to find a way to adapt and make the most out of it.
Well, we hope for the fall to be as normal as possible. And I know a lot of people will be looking forward to the renovated Dakota Dome. And prior to all of this, I know you made more than just a couple of trips over to the west side of the dome to probably keep that crew on tap who's handling the renovations. What's been your reaction to their progress to this point?
Well, they continue to make good progress. If people drive by, they can see quite a bit of exterior work now on the west side as they prepare the entries and also the drive up lane, and on that west side of the dome, you can start to see how that's going to take shape. They're getting prepared now for the beginning of seat installation, which is going to start relatively soon. The railings for the stadium section are being installed and are pretty much all in. And so the next major step will be the seat installation in the stadium section. The underneath work, locker room and player lounge, have all been drywalled in and framed. There's some painting being done at that level, along with tiling and finishes. And so those spaces continue to be on track. That will accommodate our players for the fall. And so it's fun to see the progress that they continue to make, hope that progress continues to go forward well.
What are you most excited about for the dome renovation from a fan experience standpoint and recruiting standpoint?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm really excited for our fans. I think it's going to create, and I've been very bold, and I truly mean this. I think when our facility is done, we are going to have one of the if not the best, certainly one of the best indoor football facilities in all of FCS football, with the premium seating now for fans directly behind our bench area. The kind of home field advantage that the dome will create now as a fully enclosed field with fans on both sides. I'm also really excited for our players to have the kind of first class facilities that our basketball and volleyball teams have benefited from in the Coyotes Sports Center that include a high-level locker room and player lounge facilities and the support facilities that go along with that. And certainly from a coaching staff standpoint, with the office level and the meeting spaces that are also going to be created as a part of this project, really create the kind of high-level Division I environment and facility structure that we need for the future.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to it, and we can't wait to see that dome renovated and football season. I'm sure, hopefully, it'll be here before we know it. Bob, thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it, and all the best to you and your family, your staff, and everybody else during this crazy time. Stay safe with everything.
Same to you, John, and same to Coyote Nation everywhere.
Fans, try New Dew Zero, all the exhilarating taste of Mountain Dew with no sugar, so you can get a delicious carbonated and caffeinated kick in a sugar-free, calorie-free Mountain Dew. Thanks for listening to this episode of Yotecast. You can listen to any of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts and also at goyotes.com/yotecast. If you have thoughts or ideas on a podcast episode, please let us know by emailing yotecast@usd.edu. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to listen. We'll talk again soon. Stay safe and go Yotes!
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.